You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
The National Cancer Institute predicts that based on current breast cancer incident rates, about one out of every eight women born today will be diagnosed with breast cancer at some time during her life. These are frightening statistics. Thankfully, due to increased awareness, improved diagnostics and treatment options, the survival rate for this group of diseases is improving. But some members of our families, dogs and cats, are still dying needlessly from this potentially preventable disease. As pet lovers, what can you do? If it's up to Dr. Marty Greer of Veterinary Village Hospital of Wisconsin, we'll be sporting pink paws along with our pink ribbons. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Petco, where the pets go. Petco, where the pets go.
Pet Life Radio has tail wagging, fur flying, fabulous deals for our listeners from Petco. Get $6 off your order of $60 or more, and up to 40% off the entire Petco site.
That's right.
But that's not all.
Because you're a Pet Life Radio listener, you'll also get free shipping on your order of $49 or more. $6 off, up to 40% off,
and free shipping
from Pet Life Radio and Petco. To get these awesome deals, go to PetcoDeals.com. That's PetcoDeals.com.
Petco, where the pets go.
Dyson. The new Dyson Animal Vacs are powerful bagless upright vacuums for homes with pets. Air muscle and radial root cyclone technology generates the strongest suction power to powerfully remove dust, dirt, and pet hair from the home or car. To order your Dyson Animal Vac, go to DysonDeals.com. DysonDeals.com to order your Dyson Animal Vac today.
Dyson, music to your ears.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Dr. Greer, thank you very much for being with us today. This is such an important subject.
Yes, it certainly is, and I think it's one that a lot of people aren't fully aware of. So thank you for this opportunity.
My pleasure. So we know that October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month for people, but now you're trying to make this Breast Cancer Awareness Month for pets. How did you come to start this grassroots movement?
Well, it was sort of just by good luck. Probably a year and a half or so ago, I made a posting on VIN, which is an information network for veterinarians, regarding the difficulty as a practitioner in seeing patients come in with preventable diseases. And the one in particular that I was mentioning was breast cancer. Mammary tumors are what we call them on the veterinary side, but they're really breast cancer. And fortunately, it was picked up by one of the reporters, one of the journalists there, and she contacted me and she said, okay, so what are you going to do about it? And I thought, wow, okay, I guess this is sort of the line in the sand. This is an opportunity. So it was a great chance for us to be able to take a step back and say, what is there that we can do to educate our clients about two things? One is prevention, and the other is about early detection, because both of those are really key in our ability to reduce the incidence of breast cancer and reduce the death rate from breast cancer in the dog and the cat.
This is so hard with cancer, because I'll have people come into the practice and, you know, educated people, and I'll tell them, oh, your pet has cancer, and they have this total aghast look. I didn't know that pets could get cancer. So that's a real problem, this just general awareness.
Absolutely. And so this is an opportunity to educate people. And interestingly, breast cancer is the second most commonly diagnosed tumor in the dog. That's huge. It's second only to tumors of the skin. And, of course, everybody can see those, everybody can feel those, and everybody worries about what they are when they feel them. But this is one that just seemingly has been under the radar for a long time.
Insidious, yes.
So the reporter had an opportunity to talk to me a couple of times, and after some back and forth and some nudging, we decided to develop a program that would be an opportunity to educate clients and pet owners across the country about the importance of early detection and early spay and neuter.
You'd mentioned a little bit earlier about terminology of mammary cancer versus breast cancer, and everyone has heard of breast cancer. And, you know, I think veterinarians oftentimes work under this curse of knowledge where we can jump from point A to B and we have certain words in our vernacular that we say, oh, yes, well, and I'll always remember. Several years ago, I had a client come in and the pet had a broken leg and I was talking about a fracture and this woman just came unglued and I couldn't understand. And then I had a technician in the room. She said, oh, it's a broken bone. She says, oh, why didn't you just say it was a broken bone? What was this fracture? And in my own mind, of course, it was one and the same. So I know you're trying to change this terminology.
Right. And every profession has its vernacular. It doesn't matter if you're talking to a computer software person or to a medical person. We all use words that are so common to our language that we make an assumption that everybody really understands what we're talking about. So when I read through the literature, and I've done a lot of searches on the literature in this particular area, they're consistently called mammary gland tumors in what we read and what we write. But that's not very helpful to our clients. If you look at the owner and you say, well, she's got two mammary tumors and they should come off, they go, oh, okay. And they're kind of calm about it. They don't really think much. But if you look them in the eye and say, your dog has breast cancer, the kind of response you get is far more significant and far more effective in getting a client to understand the importance of moving quickly on surgical excision of that tumor so that we have a better chance of a cure or at least good control of the disease. So it's really a matter of making sure that our clients understand, not just hear what we say, but understand what we say and understand the importance of that. And then, of course, you know, there's lots of details of how those things all work. But that's a really important first step of how do we really communicate the right message to the client.
I think it's so important for them to understand the significance because the malignancy rate, how bad the cancer is, because often we also just talk about cancer. And cancer is just an abnormal growth, cells that have gone crazy. But cancer isn't necessarily always the bad kind. There's malignant and benign. And that's the other thing that veterinarians or people in general just say, oh, they have cancer, and not understanding some of the difference. Dr. Greer, what's the malignancy rate difference between, say, people, dogs, and cats with regard to these breast cancers?
Right, and there's certainly wide numbers of them. In people, I think they're up to figuring there's around 17 different kinds of breast cancer at this point. We haven't gotten quite that good at determining what the different types are in the dog and the cat, but we can talk a little bit about generalities. In most dogs, the cancer rate overall is about 50%. About 50% are malignant, about 50% are benign. When they're benign, that means that we simply remove them and then the likelihood of them changing into something more serious is eliminated. If they're malignant, they're almost always a mixed malignancy. Almost all dogs have some kind of a mixed type of tumor when they've developed that growth on the mammary gland. The difficulty is that you can't predict before surgery what you have by doing a needle aspirate. And a lot of times on lumps that we see on dogs in the skin, we like to take a needle, pull a few cells out, look at them under a microscope, either ourselves or our pathologist, and help to predict what kind of mass we're dealing with, what kind of tumor it is, what kind of behavior it's going to have, and do we need to make a little excision to remove the tumor, do we need to be large, more aggressive, and get more tissue. With this, because they're mixed, oftentimes it's difficult to get a representative sample because you may hit the part that looks more benign or less serious, and then you've given sort of a false indication of how aggressive you need to be at surgery or if you even need to go to surgery. So that's number one. Number two is it really is dependent on the size. In general, if the tumor is under 5 centimeters, which is about 2 inches across, they're much less likely to be malignant than if they're large. So the earlier we detect, the more important, or the more likely it is that we're going to be able to successfully remove that mass without having a problem. So it's important that we catch these early. Cats are a little bit different. Cats, and I don't want to leave them out because they're an important part too, but we see far fewer mammary tumors in the cat than we do in the dog. But when we see them, around 98% of those are malignant. And it's just bad. There really isn't much that we can do that's very effective for the cat in being able to effectively remove the tumor and give them a good life expectancy once that's done. So it's a whole different kind of animal when we get to the cat. Now, the exception to that is there's one particular type of tumor that we see rarely in the dog, and it's inflammatory mammary carcinoma. That looks entirely different. It has a completely different behavior in the dog. And instead of it being a lump, and most mammary tumors in the dog are a solitary or multiple little nodules. They feel kind of like little peas underneath the skin. This is more of a rash, kind of an inflammatory-looking red, rashy skin change. And it's usually around the lower part of the abdomen. When we see that, that's got a whole different kind of prognosis. I've seen a handful of those over the last 30 years that I've been in practice, maybe six. But when we see them, they're devastating. The dogs are sick when they come in. They are very aggressive. The dogs don't do well, and surgical excision is not the treatment of choice for that. There are a few very limited chemotherapeutic protocols that might help those dogs very temporarily, but the diagnosis should be made with a biopsy, not an excision. And then we try to just keep the dogs comfortable because they're only going to live for a few weeks once that is diagnosed.
And Dr. Greer, correct me if I'm wrong, but women also get this inflammatory type of breast cancer, and it also acts very differently than the solitary lump that they'll sometimes get.
That's correct, and I don't know a great deal about the incidence of it other than it's one of the more rare types, but it is incredibly aggressive and just really frightening when it happens. So it's the one that we really have to respect and handle much differently.
There is such a similarity between breast cancer and dogs and cats. In people, we know that, okay, as women, we're supposed to do our monthly breast exam, feeling for lumps and bumps. Sometimes our breast tissue will have, you know, nodules or just different textures in it. But I think you're really trying to have people do breast exams for their pets. What should they be feeling for? You'd mentioned that it was supposed to be like little peas, little firmness under the skin. What else can they be looking for? What can they feel? And where should they feel this?
Sure, and those are great questions because this is where it really gets important that clients are educated on this and that we include other people like our groomers as part of that healthcare team as well. Groomers, the people that do their dog grooming for a lot of our pets that have long coats if they don't keep them trimmed, the groomers see our dogs every 6 to 8 weeks on average. That's far more often than a lot of veterinarians will see them. So I think it's great to have an opportunity to talk to your groomer and say, while you have the dog here, would you just go over her? I'd like you to check her over. And most groomers are aware of what this is. If they're not, then they probably are working with a veterinarian that's happy to help educate them. What I try to have people do, clients and the groomers, is, especially with the pet owners, is teach the dog to roll over on her back so that you can see her underside. And it's really great to do if she's been groomed recently because then the coat is nice and clean and short and it's easier to see and feel what's going on. So have her roll over and then you just feel along her mammary chain, which is where the nipples are, and they start near the back legs and they go all the way up the dog's chest in a little row. Usually there's about 5 nipples on each side. Now there's some variation. Sometimes there'll be more, sometimes there'll be less, sometimes they'll be closer together or further apart. That's okay. That's not anything to be concerned about. But what you want to do is feel along that tissue and see if you can feel anything that seems like a firm little nodule or, like I said, a pea or a BB underneath the skin. Oftentimes they're near a nipple, but it's not the nipple. They'll kind of feel like a nipple, so if you're not looking at the dog, you'll be like, oh, this could be serious, and then you roll them over and you realize, oh, sorry, that was just a nipple. I wasn't really feeling anything that was worrisome. But they're oftentimes near there, oftentimes just a little bit deep to that. And the worst ones, the biggest tumors that we see in the dog are closest to the back end of the dog, closest to the tail. That seems to have the greatest blood supply to the mammary glands. That's where, if a dog is nursing her puppies, where the milk is produced in the largest quantity. So we think that that probably has a relationship with why we see more tumors in that region. So those are the places that you really want to feel. Very rarely do we see this in male dogs. I've never diagnosed a male dog with it. It's in the literature. So I don't want to feel like we're leaving the boys out, but we just see very few problems with that. So especially in the dog and, again, in the cat, you want to teach her to roll over and feel along the chain of nipples and see if you can feel anything that's different. Just like us, you start to get familiar with what things feel like. You might find that she's got a fatty tumor, a lipoma, something else. But then you become familiar with what's supposed to be there and what's normal and what's not normal.
I think it's fantastic that you're recommending that groomers get involved in this, because it really needs to be that team effort. And yes, sometimes when they're in the bathtub and they're all soaped up, it's such an easy time not to have to have that fur get in the way of your tactile abilities. You just kind of feel all over, feeling for those lumps and bumps. And I'm so glad that you brought up the fact that, yes, male animals also have breast tissue. I remember when I was first out of veterinary school, new doctor, went into an office call, and it was an MD that owned this particular pet, and it was a dog, and they wanted me to check this lump on the chest. Okay, fine, and I'm feeling it all over, and I'm not feeling anything, and I feel again, and I'm not feeling anything abnormal. So I finally had to say, excuse me, what are you feeling? Because there's nothing there. And he said, right there. And it's like, oh, that's a nipple. And they had this look, and it's happened to other people too. There aren't MDs going, but it's a male animal. How can it have nipples? And I said, well, go to the beach and you'll see that human males have them too. So they are mammals. So yes, it happens with human males. I know they can get a very aggressive type of cancer. And I agree with you. I've been a veterinary now for 30 years and I haven't felt or I haven't seen any mammary cancer in a male, but we have to keep looking. It's out there somewhere.
Right. And if there is anything suspicious, the easiest thing to do is simply biopsy it. I have one client that we did find a lump on her dog that was suspicious. It was biopsied, and it did not turn out to be mammary tumors in the male dog, but it's important to check.
And they can have other type of cancers there, too. So, yes, it's a good idea to give your pet a good loving all over. Feel for lumps or bumps, just not on the mammary line, but other places, too. Too often, I'm sure, Dr. Greer, you have pets coming into you that have these huge lumps and bumps, and they go, oh, yeah, it just showed up yesterday. It's like, no, it didn't.
Right. Rarely are tumors going to be able to grow that quickly that they just occurred. But, sometimes you just simply aren't aware of it, and people don't always have the time or the ability to understand what is supposed to be there and what isn't supposed to be there. So it's just a great opportunity. So what we've been doing in our practice for October is we've been sending home a little pink and white bandana with our dogs, our female dogs that come in during that month, if they're spayed, if they're in for something else, so that they can be more aware of breast cancer. But we're also sending along a little string of pink stickers that have the faith, hope, and love kind of message on them. And I'm asking my clients to put those on their calendars, just like they do with their heartworm preventive and their flea and tick preventive products, so that they can remember once a month that they should be checking their dog or their cat for mammary lumps for breast cancer. The cool thing is, I think people are more willing and more thinking about it when it's on the calendar and it's for their dog. They do it, and then I want them to start linking that in their own memory that they should be doing their own at the same time. So I think it's a great opportunity to just meld those two together, and certainly not to try and diminish what's going on the human side for breast cancer, because it's enormously important and they've done some terrific work. But I think it's a great chance to just link those two together in your mind and to realize that both you and your dog should have that checked on a monthly basis.
Well, speaking of opportunities, we have an opportunity right now to hear from one of our sponsors. So, Dr. Greer, hold that thought or thoughts. We'll be right back talking more about pink paws and making sure that your pet does not come down with breast cancer. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Introducing the new Brett Michaels Pets Rock Collection, exclusively at PetSmart. I created it for the pets that rock your world.
Shop the Brett Michaels Pets Rock Collection and celebrate PetSmart's 25th anniversary with up to 25% off thousands of items on the PetSmart site. Plus free shipping on orders of $49 or more. Go to PetSmartDeal.com. That's PetSmartDeal.com. PetSmartDeal.com.
I'm not much of a reader, but I do wish I were more well-read.
There are so many great books coming out. I wish I could find a way to keep up.
Audible.com makes it easy to stay well informed and catch up on your reading simply by listening. Audiobooks from Audible turn downtime into uptime. you'll be more productive and become well-read.
Now I'm able to catch up on all the great books I've been wanting to read.
With Audible, I feel smarter.
Pet Life Radio listeners, try audible.com now and get your first 30 days of Audible Listener Gold membership plan free. And get a free audiobook. Choose from over 100,000 titles. To get this great deal, go to audibledeals.com. That's audibledeals.com.
Hi, I'm Lisa Smith Putnam, the host of the new and exciting show, Your Pets, My Dogs, here on Pet Life Radio. Your Pets, My Dogs will feature celebrity interviews, we'll talk to everyday pet owners, and more. Listen, I am here to entertain you each and every week, right here on Pet Life Radio. Again, that's Your Pets, My Dogs. I'm your host, Lisa Smith Putnam.
Your Pets, My Dogs.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Dr. Greer, you're talking about so many things that are important. One of the most important is really this education of our clients, that they're aware of what's going on, that they know that pets can get breast cancer, and prevention. I mentioned early in the introduction that this is an almost 100% preventable disease. How do you do that? Because, you know, for you and I, we can't prevent it. Some of it's just a matter of genetics. So how can we say that it's 100%, almost 100% preventable for pets?
Well, in dogs that are spayed prior to their first heat cycle, the incidence of mammary cancer is less than 0.05%. It's a very small incidence. So that's the good news, is if you don't have any expectation of using your dog for breeding and there isn't any other reason not to spay her, then spaying her early is almost 100% protective. After the first heat cycle, it still gives us some protection. We still see an 8% incidence instead of a higher incidence in the dogs that are spayed between their first and second heat cycle. And after the second heat cycle, the incidence goes up on average to around 26%. So spaying loses its protective effect after the second heat cycle. Now, there are other reasons that people may choose not to spay their dog at that age. There's a whole multitude of other discussions about urinary incontinence and other kinds of tumors and cancer. So that's far more in depth than we want to really get into today, because that's complicated. Every dog has to have a decision made for her independently of other dogs, and it needs to be a discussion with the veterinarian and the owner to determine really what's best for her based on the balance of what the risks and benefits of spaying or not spaying are. There's a lot of great information out there that people can access. I finally put it all on one web page for my clients, because it was just difficult for me to send them to all the different resources that are out there on behavior, cancer, and so forth. So it's an individual decision, but it can be nearly 100% prevented by spaying prior to the first heat cycle. So around 6 to 7 months of age is a great time to do it.
So this is a good time. You've gone ahead, gotten your puppy, kitten into your veterinarian for that wellness exam, getting it up to date on all its vaccines, dewormed, started on heartworm preventative, and now before it has that chance to go zipping out that back door, jumping the fence, getting tagged by the dog down the street or the cat or it coming back, oops, I'm pregnant. Perfect time, get it spayed. People have concerns, and I know you have a background in theriogenology. There's that big word of reproductive medicine. Maybe you can touch a little bit about early spay and neuter. Are you, it sounds like a pro, against, or is it just really still going to be a very individual matter?
Well, I don't like to spay prior to 6 months of age. I personally believe that there's some development of the urinary tract and the orthopedics that are important to let develop. So I don't recommend anything that early as a personal matter because of the experiences that we've had here. Other people may find that there are other reasons, and certainly if we're dealing with dogs in large groups like shelter populations, then spaying and neutering early has a lot of benefits in population control. But if we're dealing with an individual pet, it's really up to the individual owner and the individual veterinarian to have that discussion. So that's a matter of personal preference, and I think that needs to be discussed. Now, you know, that being said, we need to realize that there's also breed differences in the incidence of cancer, including mammary tumors. And I don't think a lot of people realize that. In the U.S., we don't have a lot of data on that. But in Sweden, nearly all the dogs, 90% of the dogs are insured. So it's pretty interesting to look at their data and realize that there's a different incidence. We say 26% across the board in dogs in the U.S. that aren't spayed will develop breast cancer. But we know that there's a higher incidence in certain breeds from the European studies, that being Leonbergers, which we don't see a lot of, but Doberman Pinschers, English Springer Spaniels, Boxers, American Cocker Spaniels, Airedale Terriers, and Bedlington Terriers have a much higher incidence than 26%. So that gets to that individual thing is if you have a dog of one of those breeds, you may want to discuss things differently with your veterinarian than if you had a dog with a lower incidence.
So that's important to know. And then just kind of in a general rule, large breed versus smaller breeds of dogs, in my hands, it seems as though those smaller breeds of dogs, if I get a lump on a breast, feel it, it tends to be more commonly a type of a neoplastic condition, so a bad kind of cancer versus, oh, it's just a lump.
Right. There are certainly variations. So it really takes an excision, removing the mass in its entirety with surrounding tissue, and sending that in to a pathologist to look at it to determine what you have for the cause of the problem, if it's likely to be something that's going to spread or not. So the important thing is to find it early, get it off when it's still small, and be aggressive enough with the first surgery that you're really effective. We don't have chemotherapy at this time for dogs for breast cancer. There are some products that are being looked at and some protocols being evaluated. But at this time, chemo and radiation just really aren't options. Our only chance to really save dogs from breast cancer is to do a surgery and do the right surgery at the right time. Now, a lot of dogs that have one tumor will have multiple tumors. So that's not putting them at increased risk. That still leaves them at the same risk. They just have a tendency to have more of them. But some of those dogs will end up with multiple surgeries. And over the years, we've kind of flip-flopped back and forth between, do we just take off the lump, do we just take off one gland, or do we take off the whole chain, the radical mastectomy? And that depends, again, on the individual dog and the individual discussion that you have with the veterinarian and what you know about the dog's history.
And Dr. Greer, I'm so glad you're bringing this up because, you know, I think so many women, people that are listening to this think, okay, you hear the word breast cancer, I have the mammogram done, you know, we'll go ahead and have that checked, and now they're going to do maybe a fine needle aspirate, and then I'm going to have chemotherapy and radiation therapy, and now we've gotten so far away from doing that radical mastectomy. But yes, though there are some chemotherapy protocols that are available for pets, the majority of the time that, as you're mentioning, radiation therapy isn't being done. If we do need to do multiple breast surgeries, and animals handle anesthesia so much better than they did even, say, 10, 15 years ago. So that should not be a major concern for people with all the supportive care that they have and ways of monitoring these pets. You think, oh, my poor little honey, we're going to be disfigured. I say fur hides a myriad of problems. We don't have to worry about breast reconstruction. These animals handle these procedures very well.
They indeed do. Even with the radical mastectomies, if that's necessary, and most of the time it's not, we're also not just better at anesthesia, but better at pain management. We have better drugs. We're more aware of it. We have additional therapies that we can use that help reduce post-op pain. So the dogs really do a very nice job of recovering and really feel good. And you're right, it's great to have that hair. They make us look like much better surgeons than we would if we didn't have that great hair coat growing back.
I had a client who came in yesterday, and she has obvious signs she's going through chemotherapy herself. You know, she has really, really short hair, and she just let me know she had her dog with her. She says, this pup has just been so supportive. It has been, you know, my crutch that I've needed as I've gone through my chemotherapy and radiation therapy. And it's like, you know, yes, here's your pet helping you on a one-to-one, but with the similarities of breast cancer in women and in dogs, a lot of the research that's being done right now to help people is also helping dogs and vice versa. Could you address that a little bit?
Well, I just went to a couple of meetings in the last 2 weeks regarding chemotherapy, and you're absolutely right. There's some amazing advances that are being discovered in getting down to the enzyme level of chemotherapy and determining ways that we can predict tumor behavior and how specific chemotherapeutic protocols can be applied to that. So there's some really interesting research going on. We still don't have it all completely figured out, and availability of drugs is changing, so it's making it a bit of a challenge for some of the protocols that were no longer able to get some of the drugs for. But there's ongoing research, and there's some really incredibly bright people out there doing some just terrific work that's going to be very beneficial for the dogs, for the cats, and in human medicine as well, because it's all being applied that way. So it's pretty interesting when they're getting down to the point that chemotherapy isn't just supposed to kill the most rapidly dividing cells, but it's beginning to target parts inside the cell on an enzyme level basis. So the effects of chemotherapy are becoming much less difficult for patients to live with. So I think we just have to stay tuned for a little while, and there's going to be some pretty amazing stuff. It was almost over my head when they started talking about some of the cellular biology, because I've been out of school a while, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I didn't even know that pathway existed. So there's so much now that we know that we didn't know before. It's just truly going to revolutionize what happens in the next few years with chemotherapy.
Another one of the indications of the One World, One Health, One Medicine initiative, where really there's such an overlap of human medicine and veterinary medicine. Dr. Greer, this has just been extremely helpful. I'm hoping that people will really be listening to this, get in the habit of this early detection, early prevention. So go ahead, have yourself, have your groomer, feel your pets for lumps and bumps. Bring it to your veterinarian's attention. See your veterinarian at least once a year. Twice a year is even better for a good wellness exam, because we know for ourselves as well as our pets that healthy lifestyle is so important. Have it be part of diet, exercise, weight management, veterinary care or human care. Put it all together with a little bit of good genetics, and we hope to live that long, happy life, as good a quality, as long a quantity as we can. Dr. Greer, thank you so much for being with us today, and best of luck with Pink Paws. Where can somebody go to learn more about this?
I've got some information on our website, and that is smallanimalclinic.com or smallanimalclinic.net. So I've got a web page up about that, and I've also got a web page up about spaying and neutering at ages, and the links to all those different articles that were written by people that are way smarter than me. So there's great resources out there. It's difficult to find them. They're scattered around on the internet, but that's one common resource that you can go to save yourself some time in searching.
Great. Well, thank you so much. I wish you the best of luck, continued luck in the Pink Paw Initiative. Thank you so much today for listening. I'm Dr. Bernadine Cruz. This is The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. Thank you so much. Take care.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.